have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yay. Good evening, everybody. Happy Friday to you all. Yes, we are back. Another beautiful day. Today is January the 14th. It is Friday, 2022. Wow, we made it through another year. It's just been awesome for me. I hope it's been awesome for all of you. Happy to be back. Tonight is simple. I've been thinking about some things tonight, y'all. I know we only have about an hour, but I've been thinking about some things, and I've really been thinking about, how do I say it? I've been kind of thinking about where the church is right now. In other words, after the pandemic, how many of us have gone back into the house of the Lord to worship? And how many of us have had reasons for not getting back into the house. How many of us have had reasons for getting back into the house? I was thinking about that today, and it brought into mind, through my deep mode of thinking, it brought to mind for me mission. You know what I mean? Like mission trips and so on and so forth. Kind of made me start thinking about, why is our message diluted today? That's kind of where I wanted to get started. But before I do that, I want to welcome in my partner. I want to say thank you to Sister Kimmy, and I want to go ahead and welcome in Jason. J-Dub, you on with me tonight? Are you within the sound of my voice? Have you logged in? Okay, maybe not yet, but I'm sure he'll be right on. Sister Kimmy, thank you. Hope you've gotten over your sicknesses that you were dealing with, your illnesses. And, well, I'm your host, Minister Cedric. And I just wanted to have a talk with everybody about that, you know, just starting, because, you know, it's tough out here. You know, you think that you're doing all the right things, and, man, it seems like the world is just beating up on you. It seems like you just can't win for losing. Yep. So I guess I can tell, even from last week, but I kind of been out there myself. I kind of been in a little bit of a, I don't like to use the word funk, because when I think of funk, I looked at the movie by James Brown last night. I've been thinking of the funk, you know what I'm saying? I've been thinking of the good stuff, you know, the good music, you know, to have, let your hair down for a minute, have a good time music. But no, that ain't the kind of funk I'm talking about. I've been in a funk like, just in an ugly mood, you know. I've been struggling. I've been trying to learn so much. I don't know if anybody out there is like me. I try to learn all I can. I mean, I'm constantly reading, even when I know that if I don't really commit to what I'm reading, I'm not going to remember it, especially since my accident. But that's where I've been. So in that, I will tell you, I was reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I read verses 1 through 4. So I'll just say 1 through 4. And you know what? It was all good, because verse one started out saying, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone. And then I skip down to verse 3, and it says, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, see, that, I was saying, I was agreeing with everything. I was agreeing with everything there, and I'm saying, okay, God, we want everybody to come into the knowledge of the truth, right? But, you know, sometimes we don't treat the church like that, and I think that's what Paul was saying to the church. You know, sometimes we don't treat the church like that. Because here's my thing, and I want everybody to understand this, is that everybody has the opportunity to be saved, right? And when you think about that, you know that God desires that for all of us, right? And you know, I'm saying we all have an opportunity. We have another opportunity. The pandemic has been rough. It has treated all of us bad. It ain't treated none of us special, you know what I mean? It doesn't care. It's like a stray bullet. It doesn't care who it hits. But since it's been ejected out of that barrel and the cartridge has been shed, that bullet has to hit something, whether it goes up in space and hits the ground, hits a tree, hits a wood, or it hits a person. I once heard it said that if you don't have a destination, any place will do, so you can go anywhere, right? And so, but God is saying, check this out. See, when you think about the opportunity to be saved, when you think about your mission statement, you think about what a mission is, God sets it aside, check it out, for all of us, and he desires it for all of us. So then the question is, so why aren't all of us saved? Think about that. And so these are some of the things I was struggling with this week. I just want y'all to know I was struggling this week. and I ended up on these scriptures, and I'm just like, oof. And so I was struggling. And so I asked myself, I said, Cedric, you know what? Since there are some people who aren't in the church, then what is your mission? And then here's the real question. Cedric, are you on mission? Right, right. And I see a lot of y'all, a lot of times we get it mixed up. We think mission is us getting with an organization, and we get together and we head to Bahrain, or we ain't going to Bahrain because y'all know there ain't no Christians right there, right, right. But we head overseas to another country and we try to convert these people in these other countries, or we think mission is every Saturday morning you got Jehovah's Witness knocking on your front door, right, right, trying to recruit you into. No, that's what we think about, but I like to look at it on the individual side. Yeah, I like to look at it on the individual side, because if you think about who we are, all of us, you know, since we love God, we're all called. And that question I asked myself, Cedric, are you on mission? See, I'm in the business of introducing people to God. I'm in the business of introducing people to God, not to convert them myself. You know why? Because I can't do it. No, it ain't for me to do. Mm-mm. Nope. You see, when I think about it, I think that if I'm being a good steward, if I'm on mission, then I need to introduce everybody that I come in contact to God. And sometimes it's a direct introduction. Straight person who wants to know God, this is God. God, this is the straight person. Of course, God knows who he is. Right? But, yeah, I feel like it's my job to introduce them, right? That's it. That's all. And then this person and I, we can have a discussion. We can get to talk about God. And then we get to this point, and we start talking about what it is. And then so the first thing I realize I have to do is I have to pray for this. You see, when you get into 1 Timothy in those verses that I read, you find that Paul wrote, right, 1 Timothy, he wrote this to encourage Timothy, right? He wrote to Timothy and he wanted to encourage him. And who was Timothy? Timothy was Paul's protege. He was Paul's protege when it comes to ministry, right? And the problem they were dealing with in 1 Timothy was false doctrines. And these doctrines were focusing on the genealogies and different myths that had basically rendered the church at Ephesus, it rendered it powerless. It decimated its ranks. I mean, it basically hurt the church, right? And in the church, there was lots of confusion. How many of us are in church today and there's some confusion, right? You know, it was all stirred up, you know, and there was some problems. And Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, you know? When you think about that, and by the time we get to verse 4, when you think about that, there were some really negative effects of this, right? And what caused the turmoil and what caused the church to be diminished is because of the false teachings. Now, how many of us right now know that there's a problem in our country right now because of false teachings, right? Because of lies being told and people get into uproar. And so I had to ask myself again, Cedric, are you on mission? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Because I'm going to tell you something, by the time we finish with this, by the time we finish, just like Paul, when you read in 1 Timothy, you find that Paul, he emphasized the fact that they needed prayer. Yeah. Yes, he did. He emphasized that prayer was needed. And so when I meet people, when I think about the church being somewhat empty right now or all the way empty right now, when I feel like the church is not being as effective as God has called us to be, so don't get me started, but I'm going to be calm. I'm going to remain calm, but I do want to say this, is that Paul emphasized the fact that we need to pray. Mm-hmm. How many of us understand that we are called to pray before we do anything? Don't you know that's the first thing you should do? Check it out. Somebody, you're driving down the road, and somebody swears and almost hits your car. Don't you understand? Before you yell and scream and curse, the first thing you ought to do is pray. They don't get me started. I used to hear, I used to work with this lady. It was a group of ladies, young, we were all young. But anyway, and this one girl, whenever somebody would upset her, we worked in customer service, whenever somebody would upset her, she would, before she said that, and I took it that she meant it as a joke, but she would always say, "Oh, gosh, God help me, because I'm about to say something." Well, you know, she would say something to that effect, but she would always call on the name of God first. But look, in effect, you can say that she was praying first. And so what Paul was saying is that you ought to be praying. When you read into the scriptures, it basically says that how do you put it? You'll find these differences. You'll find them in petitions, right? And that's the word they use, petitions. And what are petitions? What are petitions? I'll tell you what a petition is. A petition is a request for something specific. And then he uses the word prayers a lot, right? Right? And again, same thing. What is prayer? Basically, it's our way of saying, "Hey, God, we need you." Right? It's our way of communing with God. Let me say it like that. And so when you pray, there's an interaction between you and God. Yeah. So when we read into the scripture, you know, again, same thing with me, because I'm praying, and I'm praying that we continually introduce people to God or lead people to Christ in that petitions. And then intercessions. What are intercessions? You know, we are to intercede for one another. You know, we have to do all of these things. So when I ask myself, Cedric, are you on mission? Are you doing what God had called you to do? I mean, in essence, I'm asking this. All of us, we're asking this. We're petitioning God, right? So we're making specific requests. We are praying, right? We are sending up prayers, right? We're communing with God, right? And then when we get to intercessions, right, when we are intercessing for people, right, what we're doing is we're making a request to God, and we're doing it out of faith. You see what I'm saying? We're doing it out of faith. Like we're saying, God, I know you're going to send people into the house. God, I know you're going to heal people. You know, asking God to do that out of faith. So that. When I was sitting back thinking about this, I was just like, "Well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing," and I was feeling like a failure. I really was, and I said, "God, I don't. A mission is not what I want." But at the end of the day, I asked, "Well, okay, Lord, how can I pray for this? Am I on mission? How can I pray? What should I pray? What am I going to do?" But see, I'm going to tell you something. As I read through this, and it drove me all the way down to Matthew. But as I was reading through verses 1, 3, and 4 in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it just made me think, and I started to think about what Paul was talking about, because think about this. Everything begins with prayer. So I'm sitting back and I'm looking at the church and I'm feeling like the church is being crippled by COVID-19 or people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But Paul knew, even when he was writing, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, Paul knew that every bit of evangelism, everything about evangelism, it began with what? Prayer. Why? Why is it so important? Just like the young lady I told you about, prayer was important because she knew that it was God. She knew that everything started with God. And so Paul was telling Timothy the same thing. And I want to tell everybody out here who's struggling with something, look, when you show your dependence on God, I'm telling you, you can't beat God showing up. When you just solely depend on him, you can't beat him showing up. You never get disappointed that way, ever. You can't. Why? Because you're not looking at it through the lens of self. You're looking at it through the lens of Christ. You're saying, "It's on your time, God. I'm doing this for you, Lord." And that's the beautiful thing. Because we really, really, really need God. excuse me. And so, as I continue to read, I'm gonna try to bring Jason on. I think he's on hold there. I just got a message, but I'm gonna try to bring him on here. But you know, so when I was reading in 1 Timothy 2, and I read verse 3 and verse 4, man, I was feeling it. I was feeling it, and I got to that point, and I've been approached by people that say I'm a little bit biased, and I don't think I'm biased at all. But that's another thing that Paul was talking to Timothy about the church in Ephesus, is that the church was biased, and they were teaching this. They were teaching this, and I'm praying every day that that's not what we teach in our church. I'm praying every day that we teach everyone the way God wants us to teach. I want everybody to come into the knowledge of the truth, because I understand and I know that that's what God wants. And in Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus, right, when he used the word truth, it was the gospel, the truth. It referred to the gospel, the truth. When you convert that, when you change it up, it refers to the gospel. So you cannot be truly converted to Christianity if you're not hearing the truth, right? And then he also emphasized being saved. And what is being saved? It's basically repenting from sin, right? You repent from the sin you're in, and then you place your faith in Christ. That's it. And then when you get to verse 4, I'm breaking it out. I want it to be real simple for everybody to get. What Paul is doing is he's implying that we should have a relationship with Christ. He's talking about that relationship. See, you see, a lot of us, we think that we got it figured out. We know what God wants. And I can tell you this, I'm not going to knock anybody for saying, well, I understand what God wants from me. Well, you probably do. But I'm just going to tell you what he wants from all of us. How about that? I can't get down to the individual person unless God show me. I can't get down to the individual person, but I can tell you what he wants for all of us. And God desires a relationship with all of us. Look at what he said in verse 4. He says, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, look at this. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. In other words, he's saying, hey, I want to have a relationship with everybody. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, and he's saying that let not these naysayers, these false prophets, these false teachers. Oh, man, don't get me started, but Jason, you made it on, man?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here. I am here.
I'm sorry. I kind of went on. I was waiting for you, but I got caught up. I was actually just talking about what I was reading earlier today, because I had to ask myself, in my own mission, am I doing what God has called me to do? And so I wanted to, since you're here, I wanted to look at Matthew 9. Because, again, more passages, and this came straight from a study guide I was reading, but Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38, you tell me what you think, but it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, just so you know, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I was struggling, and I was struggling with us as Christians, not supporting the church as much by attending after the pandemic, or this is not after, but during the pandemic at this point, after the vaccine. I'm going to say post-vax. I think that sounds better to me. And so I was talking about how I believe that we are to pray for the conversion of others, and also pray that God guides us on our mission. So when I got to Timothy, you know, of course, Timothy said something a little different. He says when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. I mean, when I read that, you know, when I actually read that, I have to think about the workers, right? Don't just pray for people to come help. Pray for people with compassion. That's what I'm getting out of that, right? I know I'm jumping on something else because I was talking about Paul before, but in Matthew, you'll find that how Jesus, the more Jesus moves around Galilee, the more the word I'm going to use is burdened. He was by the spirit of the people, or shall I say by the spiritual condition of the people, not just the spirit of the people, but the spiritual condition. He was worried about that. And I think I can relate to that because that's kind of how I'm feeling with, you know, going on in the church. Have you noticed anything like that, or have you come across anything like that, Jason, in your church?
I think that's an important realization that we were worried about the spirit of the people, right? I think sometimes we get caught up on the actions of the people, right? Well, this person ain't serving, this person ain't giving, this person don't show up every week. He always asking the church for this, but he ain't never giving back to it. And we get so caught up in the circumstance and what these people are doing, we don't think about what's going on in their spirit, right? You know, and you know, so when you talk about compassion, I think that is something that we are sorely lacking in the church today, right? You know, we are not compassionate to our fellow brothers and sisters, you know, especially as they start to fall off and they slip and, you know, they may not be as gung-ho into the serving, into the ministry as they used to, you know. We get so concerned about what they're not doing that we don't ask ourselves, man, what's going on in that spirit, right? You know, and I look at it, you know, just in just people interaction, you know, when people, a lot of times relationships, new jobs, new things people get excited about. And after a while, that excitement starts to wane and it starts to fade. And instead of worrying about, like, what changed internally within you, you know, to make you now respond to that, we always respond to, and you know, so when you talk about, you know, looking at the spirit and how God cares about the spirit, I think that's a sign of compassion that we really got to get better at, because I don't think we do a good job, you know, really caring about it. You know, I know for myself, you know, someone serving, they just stop serving for a while. You know, it's not a reach out and say, hey, bro, what's going on? You know, it's more of, there you go. Now I got to do your extra work because you ain't here. Right. You know, but to your point, and you said it earlier, I mean, I was listening before I got on, and you said it earlier, you know, we need to be serving for God, you know, like our mission, right? And I think too many times we think our mission is to really do things, when actually our mission is just to do what God calls us to do, right?
Yeah.
And if we do that, we let God take care of the rest. You know, we talk about the harvest, let God take care of the rest. Hey, God called me to go wave on the corner for the church. That's what I'm going to do. If no one else shows up, I'm still going to wave. You know, if someone says you can't wave at the corner because this person's missing, well, you know what? I'm going to do what they asked me to do. But I'm just supposed to make myself available and let God take care of the rest.
Yeah, I get all. Sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but how many times you ever feel like, man, I'm tired of doing all of this. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. I just want to quit for a little while, just for a week. And then you realize when you get to that point where you want to quit and you don't want to do nothing, all of a sudden there's something else to be done, and you get pulled back in. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. But I think what's going on, like if you, as I read through Matthew, if you, when you read through that, you see that, I mean, I hear compassion. You know, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant. Look, there's lots. There's lots. It's abundant. You know what I mean? It's overflowing. And then he says, then he says, but the workers are few. Man, what a better example of getting the most out of what you got and then Christ and the disciples. That was 12 disciples, right? We
right.
always credit it with 12 disciples. But we know that one of those disciples, well, you know, he's a little on the special side. He betrayed Christ, right? Do you really think he was out there recruiting souls? I don't know. I just take it for granted, but I take it at face value. But even in the ranks of Christ, there were saboteurs. Don't get me started now. Y'all can email me, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were saboteurs. What makes us believe that the enemy stops working on us? What makes us believe that there are not saboteurs in our ranks? But God doesn't say, the scriptures in Matthew still don't come out and say be mean. When Paul was writing in 1 Timothy, again, it was nothing insensitive about it. You know, we ought to pray for this. God, okay, I'm petitioning you for what I need to do. You accept your mission, but then when you approach it, listen to me. This is the part where I always slip up on because people misunderstand me. Or let me say it this way. I come across in a very harsh way. And truth of the matter is, the way I feel compassion is what it is. It's compassion. I'm in it to win it, and I'm telling you, if I'm your friend, I'm on your side. I'm kind of like Chuck. I'm your friend till the end, right? I'm like the Chucky doll, but compassion. We have to have compassion for one another, and we have to have patience because, you know, that compassion opens up your heart. Am I right, Jason? It opens up your heart, and when you open up your heart to other people, man, you start to kind of feel a certain kind of way when they succeed or fail, or the appearance of success or failure. When it looks like they're failing, you know, you want to give them a hand up. You want to be there with them to bear the burden. And when they have successes, you want to be there with them to celebrate. You know, you want to lift them up. So compassion is definitely something because, man, have you ever been out, Jason, where you have so much work to do, but there's nobody to help?
Oh yeah, I mean how many times do you hear it? They say it's like 80% of the people in the church supports 20% of the people support most of the church, and the other 80% are just kind of there, you know,
yeah.
You know, taking up space. And
I kind of
for
it.
Me, so for me, I don't look mm-hmm. at that as a bad thing. I look at it to the point where I know what serving has done for me, right? I know what it means when I'm using the gifts and talent God's given me for something besides making money, for furthering his
yeah.
kingdom and the joy and pleasure that comes from that. So when someone's missing out on that, to me, it's kind of like, yo, bro, man, you're missing out. You know, they're giving away free money over there. I'm going to let you know because I want you to get that benefit too. Because my heart and my love goes to you for that. So we struggle with that throughout the church where people aren't serving and they aren't you know, really participating. They're not being the workers. When you talk about the workers being few, that's what he's talking about. And a lot of times, you know, we take it as if you're serving faithfully. It reminds me of the brother who stayed at home from the prodigal son.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing everything right. What? You know, this person ain't even doing right. Why are we even worried about them, right? When in reality, it's not about that we're doing the right thing and they're not. It's more like they're not doing the right thing, and that's separating them from God. They're not feeling the full benefits of a relationship with Christ. So in our compassion, that's where our compassion really jumps out, because now we're saying, man, I want you to get the full benefits of being in relation with Christ. So let me try to help you figure out what's going on with your serving? What's going on with these things that you're doing? You know, how can we help you figure that out so that you can get the full benefit of that relationship?
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. I just pray, just like the scripture says in verse 37. You know, when he compared the people in the field to a harvest that was ripe and it was ready for picking, and just didn't have a bunch of workers to harvest it. And what did Jesus command them to do? He commanded them to pray for more workers. So that's one thing I haven't been doing. I haven't been praying for more workers. And for whatever reason, you know, it ain't just whatever reason. I know I haven't been doing what I was supposed to do. And it can get tough at times. It can get tough. So it's a strong thing for me. It's really strong.
Sometimes it's difficult because, you know, it's that whole thing. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing all the right stuff. And, you know, we're called, like you said, to pray for the person that's doing wrong. And in our heads, it's like, well, no, just do the right stuff. Right. You know, and I think sometimes we forget that it's easier said than done. Right. Sometimes, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about scripture. That's what I love about scripture. It tells you we know the right thing to do. We want to do the right thing, but we just don't. And if we remember that as we interact with one another, then, you know, when you talk about praying for the harvest and praying for those, like for me, when I pray for the people who I feel like is missing out on that deeper relationship and that deeper connection with God because they're not serving. Right. That's where I am. It's like, I want you to get the full benefit of that relationship with Christ. And that does come with, you know, reading your Bible. That does come with praying every day. That does come through corporate worship. But there's another piece of it. It's when you're really using that gift, right, that God's put in you. When you're walking out your calling, right, your purpose, you know, not your worldly purpose, not the thing that gets you the money, but that godly purpose, right? You know, when, you know, one of my saying is, you know, I do things to make money, but my job is serving God. And you know, so when you're doing that job, when you're doing that job, now you're like, man, this is great. You know, and a lot of people miss out on that. And my heart goes out to them. So when we talk about, like, you know, praying for the workers, that's the heart we have to have. We have a heart of compassion that I'm not praying for the workers question. Because it's taking the – you say what?
That's the question I got right there. And the question I have is again, like I told you, my struggle in the beginning was because of the pandemic, the post-vaccine pandemic. And my question is, like how do current events shape or change the way you pray or the way you act towards others or act towards what Christ wants you to do? How has it changed it? Like, what's going on right now?
Well, I mean,
has it changed you at all?
Well, it has to, right? Because what you see in our current events, you see people, especially within the body, being impacted by it. Right. To the point where they're like, I don't know up from down. Right. You know, and they're losing, you know, for lack of a better term, they're losing their way. They're losing their focus. Right. You know, we get so focused on these current events and the things going on in these current events. We sometimes forget about, like, hey, we serve a God that's great. That's greater than these circumstances that we're in. Right. And so as I start my prayer, and, you know, I think about that. I think about the struggle. Because, I mean, to be honest and truthfully, there's times where I start to struggle, right? I'm listening to different podcasts. I'm listening to different influencers. I'm listening to different types of people, and it starts affecting my spirit, right? And I have to be like, man, God, bring me back, from that.
Mm.
So as we pray about that, we've got, I would love for us to be all holier than thou and never get impacted or affected by our current events and the things going on, but we're human, right? And in being human, some of that stuff is going to happen to us. And we can't sit here and act like we're above that because I'm that Christian that don't affect me anymore. And the people who are, they just need to get prayed up. I was like, no, I mean, it's life, man. As we get inundated with this stuff and we grow in our relationship, these are some of the things. When we talk about maturity, these are some of the things that lend to our maturity, to be able to say, like, you know what, I hear these circumstances, I hear this stuff, but I'm going to try to rise above it.
Because the reason I asked that, because, I read Matthew, and the thing is, the way Jesus approached the problem, I don't think I have it. You meet people, like I meet people all day, every day who are under some form of distress. They got these different feelings. Life is just not the same. But the way Jesus approached it was, basically he said, hey, people need leadership. They need a leader. And he basically showed himself to be the shepherd. My thing is, when I think of the way I've handled certain issues here, like I was talking about earlier, is maybe I haven't presented myself as that. I'm talking about to my own self, in my own mind. Maybe I've just decided I'm just like everybody else. And I'll tell you, I think that's a problem for us. I think that's a problem for us, for my way of thinking. That's a problem for me, because I am not doing what Christ told me to do the way he instructed me to do it. And I don't know, man. I'm just, again, it's just me. I'm having problems with myself right now. I feel like I'm failing royally. Like I am keen failure. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
No, and I understand, for me, when I feel like I'm not living up to the standard God has for me, that actually kind of excites me, right? And the reason why, because there was a point in time in my life that the standard I lived by was my own, and when I wasn't doing what God told me to do, I had no remorse. My heart was hardened. Didn't care. I was like, whatever, I'm doing me, and I'm good with it, right? So even in those even when we have those convictions, I see that as a cause for celebration, because that means that I'm aligning my heart with God so that he can convict me, so he can say, hey, you're not doing the right thing. And just like our gracious God, he gives us so many opportunities. And because his grace is abounding, he's so forgiving. What the mistake I made today, he ain't going to hold it against me, right? He's just going to look at me and say, hey, let's do better. And you know what? I'm like, hey, thank you. I'm going to do better, And, so for me, I like I said, I always celebrate those convictions. When I feel like I'm not quite doing what God's calling me to do, I'm falling short on the things he's asking me to do. When I get in those times, I actually start to celebrate a bit. So I'm like, the fact that you're touching my heart to the point where I'm feeling some way about it means that you're working in me. It means that you are trying to, I am aligning myself with you, and the things you're calling for me.
What's funny about that is you take me right into the other thing I wanted to just throw out there, is that you're actually doing it, because if you go to Acts 4, 29-31, And I'm just giving references to my thought processes. And you can hear me turning pages because I'm trying to read as you're talking, Jason. But Acts 4, 29-31, it says, "And now, Lord, consider their hearts and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. See, it goes exactly what you're talking about. You know, as we pray for God to send those people for us, basically the harvest, then we are to pray for compassionate workers. And next, we are to pray for courage, for the courage to act, right, and the strength of God. Because think about it. When Peter spoke of the resurrected Christ, when he talked about Christ who was resurrected, and when he talked to the religious authorities, right, and then they had him arrested right along with John, right? Check this out. They refused to stop preaching. So they're in jail and they refused to stop preaching, right? They woke up every day and they made every intent clear, and the intent was, here it is, that they would never stop preaching Christ, right? And eventually, the leaders let them go free. So it's exactly what you're talking about. Exactly what you're talking about. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it took me there. And that's what's important, right? Instead of, here it is. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jason. But instead of asking God to remove your problem, right? Remove your problem. God, take me out of this situation. Take me out of that. What we ought to be asking God for is that the Christians, the professed Christians, right, ask God to give them boldness so they can stand here with us, so they can stand up. You know, I long since admired, back in the day, I used to say, wow, they out here, they're pushing for abortion rights and they're doing this stuff, right, anti-abortion rights, and they shouldn't be killing babies and this, that, and the other. But what happened over the years, I see in my mind and in my eyes, I've seen over the last 40 years, these people go from protesting, right, to vigilantism, right? So what's better, to kill a person, to save a life? What's better? Either way, you're killing somebody. You know what I'm saying? And man, mm-hmm. I have been struggling. So I've been, you know, I think the next thing I need to do, I need to ask God to you know, be honest with myself and ask God for that holy boldness. I think we all need to do that because right now, and we got some stuff going on here, and I don't want to get into no politics. I'm just talking about what's going on around this world that I live in. I'm seeing kids killing kids at the bus stop. I'm seeing fathers rejecting their families, mothers rejecting families, grandparents. And here's the craziest thing that I think that sometimes we can do is this. I never understood why my parents always held on close to us, even when we were young adults. My parents still held close to us. Like they didn't stop us from being adults, but they always called. They always checked on us. They were always concerned about us, right? And I never understood. And I'm like, Mom, I'm grown. Why I got to call you every day? Why I want to call you every day? I got three kids that are grown, and I want to talk to them. Like, maybe not, you know. Yeah, every day I want to talk to them. I don't bother them every day, just like my parents did me. But the thing is, you know, it was to keep a bond between us. And I was young back then, and I didn't understand it. And that's the thing. When we pray for this holy boldness, right, when we pray for this, you know, God will create a situation for it to manifest itself. Look, listen. Just tell me if I'm wrong. Do you think if you keep asking God, give me the boldness to speak out. Give me the boldness to speak your word in the face of death, in the face of my enemies. Don't you think at some point God is going to give it to you, but he's going to let the situation present itself so that you can, so it can manifest itself? Or you think he's going to give you this boldness and you ain't never got to demonstrate it? You only got to demonstrate it in front of your friends. But see, like what a lot of us do, we ask God for this holy boldness, and we say, because I want to profess your word. And every time the opportunity comes up, they back away. Ain't no faith in that. We ain't walking forward. You know, and so that's the thing I've been praying for, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up because, you know, here recently, I tell people, you know, certain things, right? You know, we always pray for, hey, God, give me strength. Hey, God, do these things. But what we don't pray for is the opportunity to grow, right? You know, you and I always have a saying, you know, you don't rise to your occasion, you fall to your training. And sometimes we've got to be trained. We've got to be transformed. We've got to be, you know, we got to go through that refinement process, you know. So when that person cuts you off and pisses you off, you know, we thank God for the opportunity to deal with this highly negative emotion, to come back to God. Okay, God, I've got to learn how to deal with this. I've got to learn how to handle myself in this. And you're giving the opportunity for me to come to you in that circumstance and situation. So praying for boldness, you're right about that. We may pray for boldness, but we shrink away when the opportunities come, right? Opportunities to develop that boldness, right? Because reality is this, you know, I'll tell you the first time, you know, I was sitting in a service one time, and I'm sitting down at the end, and there was this woman on the other end by herself, single, right? I'm a married man, and she's getting into service. I can see her spirit. God put something in my heart. Go talk to her, right? So here I am. I'm like, man, I am a married man talking to this single woman. No, I'm not doing that. And I let her walk out the church because we're sitting in the sanctuary. At some point, God just kept saying, go talk to her. Why did I have to run this woman down halfway down the parking lot? So now it's even worse, right? Got this big dude come running up on this woman. And I just went to her and I just said the word God said to her. And just know that wasn't the first time I actually responded. Because God has said stuff to me before. He's given me opportunity to step out that way. And in each one of those opportunities prior to that, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm feeling bad on the back end. So now when I talk about opportunities, I recognize those. And only through those opportunities of those misses prepared me for the opportunity to do it successfully. You know, so you're right. We want to pray for boldness. But when those opportunities come, we want to shrink away from them and be like, hold on, I'm not ready for this. And then the beautiful thing, and you know I say this all the time, great thing about our God, he's going to keep giving us until we learn that lesson. You know, we'll keep getting put in that situation until we learn that lesson. And eventually we'll be like, okay, I guess I got it now, God. Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and appreciate you right now while I can. So, but that's how it works. And that's how it works. And so in saying that, I know we got to get ready to sign off for here, Jason. I hate it because we got plenty to talk about, but what I want to do, I just want us, and I guess I'm going to leave this last word right here, is that, you know, if something ain't going right, whether it be in your church home or your dwelling, being the family, be with at work with friends, you know, my question is for you to ask God, what's my mission for today? What do you want me to do? And I encourage everybody to ask God that every day, because y'all know like I know, just like your job responsibilities can change at the drop of a hat, God can have something for you to do. Instead of you driving straight to work, he might want you to make a detour, go over and see some of the homeless people, right? Whatever God has for you, I'm telling you, the only way you're going to know is to ask, and when you ask, have an open, I'm going to just say spirit, your mind, your body, just be open to do what thus saith the Lord. And with that being said, I'm going to close out tonight. Jason, you got anything else you want to say?
No, just like I said, as we pray for the workers, for the boldness, for our mission, right? You know, we've already won. And that's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
When you talk about missions,
amen.
We've already won.
Yeah.
The question is, you know, what are we going to take in this victory? And so,
okay.
you know, I love this talk about our mission. And just know, man, you know, like I said, as we go out and then get on mission, you know, let's really make it happen. Yep.
Yep. Let's make it happen, just like what we say, right? Y'all know we come to that time of the show, but I want to just say thank you, everybody, for listening in, and know that God has your back. So when you find something you love, you embrace it, you chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. This Minister Cedric, y'all have a wonderful evening. Jason, you take care. Sister Kimmy, if you would bring in our music, please, man. This has been, God is good. God is so good. Amen. And God will be with you.
He's my Rosé, he's my Rosé,
provides a source, how your income, give you that bread.
That's my Rosé.
Remember when you didn't have a thing, you was not so lost.
That's my Rosé.
Then you received double-double, he increased you like a bounce.
That's my Rosé.
Hey, that's my rock.
My
God's so good to me. Blessing after blessing, even ones that I can't see. I can't thank him enough,
thank him enough.
Cause he's done so much.
He's my rock. He's the reason I can't stop giving them praise until I drop. He took me from the bottom all the way to the top. That's why I tell the devil get back. Strapped with the word, click clack. And you ain't never gotta wonder what my faith said. I can do all things through Christ. Did you get that? Chase God, not money, that's true fact. I'm obese with belief, yeah, too fat. My foundation's too strong, so it can't crack. I'm cool when life gets rocky, no ASAP. He laid down his life like a flow, man. That's why I go so hard and never go back. I'm never searching for a blessing at all, cause he's my rock when my back against the wall.
Up joy like peanut butter cookies. Get a taste of him and you might start looking. Get the shouting hallelujah, got everybody looking.
But that's okay though.
Yes sir, he's solid. 10 toes down, he endows me with knowledge. Provide strength when I'm weak in my body. I bounce back with a fight like Ali. But Rosé, gotta know he don't play. The big homie on the block with the most game. I just lean on him like a brick wall. Got your back when you slack, make the big fall. What a big dog, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for giving life and sending down the Holy Christ. A refuge and fortress of solitude. I'm flesh